Biden just met with Pope Francis recently at the G7 summit. First time that a Pope has spoken at it. Stay tuned to find out how that went down. Well, Pope Francis recently spoke at the G7 summit. First time a Pope has done so. A couple things went down that we're going to take a view at here in a moment. But I certainly want to say, hey, you know what? I'm happy that a Pope has the ability to come to summits like this and offer his perspective on a number of issues related not only to AI, but also ecology, the war, all sorts of things. War in Ukraine, war in Gaza. I'm happy that the Pope has a voice in these discussions. It's good that the church has a voice in such discussions. I suspect there's a day coming, however, when the church no longer will be given such a platform. So let's enjoy it while we still have it. Quite certain pretty soon we'll see the world cancel the church. For a number of reasons. So we're going to take a look at what Pope Francis recently said, but I first just have to start out with the weirdest part about this, and that is Biden's brief meeting with Pope Francis. This is not the first time he has met Pope Francis, but this might be the weirdest one. What is going on with him? And I'm sorry, but I can't do another 4 years of this. This is just weird. Have y'all seen this? Some of the photos that are coming out from the odd interaction between Biden and the Pope. I'm going to show you a very brief video clip here and make a couple comments about it before we dive into the summit itself and Pope Francis's view about Biden and stuff like that. Take a look at this. This is, you know, Pope Francis, G7 summit, meeting all kinds of world leaders, everything's going great. Let me turn on the audio because you're actually going to want to hear what takes place in the background. So pay attention to the noises in the background, the yelling in the background, and also the behavior of Biden here. Let's briefly talk about that. All right, let's see that again. Now, first of all, do you hear that commotion in the background whenever Biden gets outrageously close to the Pope? Not just close, but literally starts to touch his forehead with his own forehead. Listen to the commotion in the background. They're like, oh, no. It's like they're telling Biden, no, stop being weird. Stop doing that. No, don't get close to him. You're too close. But, you know, Joe, what are you doing? That's a little odd. Hear that again. It's as if they know that Joe's going to do something weird and they all have to jump in and tell him, stop doing it, Joe. Wrong person, Joe. Wrong place and time, Joe. And what is this? His head is literally on his head. Look at this. Now, look, hey, I totally get, you know, you want to have maybe a private conversation with somebody whenever, you know, there's other people around. So you might get in a little closer than usual, but not to the point that your forehead is touching their forehead. What's going on? What is up with Joe Biden? It's not like this is an isolated instance, right? We see a lot of weird behavior like this from him. And Poor Pope Francis. He's in a wheelchair, okay? So it's not like he could just completely just wheel out of there all of a sudden. But this is just poor Pope Francis. I would want to just wheel out of there immediately. This is too much. FYI, look, I'm always happy to meet people from the channel, but this is out of bounds for me. Just letting y'all know, okay? No forehead-to-forehead interactions. If I ever get a chance to meet some of y'all, you know, I'm happy to meet people. It's an honor for me to meet people who watch the channel, but let's not do this though. Okay. What is up with that? And then this lady in the background was looking the whole time. Like there's some other videos of her. She's just like, what is Joe doing? And Pope Francis tried to, you know, play it off like, okay, well, let me be nice. Anyways, all right. So Vatican News published a little bit about what Pope Francis talked about here. Pope to G7. AI is neither objective nor neutral. You know what? I'm happy to see conversations about AI. I've talked a little bit about it in the past, and I'm glad that there's more interaction going on here. On this topic, I think that AI is a tool like everything else. It's like the internet. It can be used for good, obviously, hopefully. Right now in this very show, I'm using the internet for good, but also it can be used for bad, as we know. And so AI is no different. It's a tool like everything else. You can use a tool constructively or destructively. And I've seen some instances where AI has been used in a very destructive manner already. For instance, I've seen people generate videos of AI, of individuals, not only of their face, but also of their audio. And it looks and sounds just like them. But they're saying something that they would never say because it's AI generated. That's a massive, massive concern. Because it's going to get so good, and it arguably already is at the point that it's so good that people could release a video of you saying something that you would never say and that might even be criminal, and then use that against you, either to cancel you or prosecute you. And it's like, how are you going to demonstrate that that wasn't really you in the video? I don't know. I mean, it seems like the technology is already so good that it would be hard to do that. Imagine in just a few more years, I certainly would say it would be impossible to distinguish between a real footage of somebody and, you know, fake AI generated footage. What if you have them in AI doing something criminal or saying something immoral, something that they would never say or do? The power of that, and the way in which people use the media as propaganda, that could be used to destroy lives of innocent people. And that's just one danger among many others. Obviously, AI could be used for other immoral means. Can and has been, you know, perhaps making immoral images of a particular person or something like that. So, I'm glad that there's some interaction going on here. And so the big headline here is AI is neither objective nor neutral. I think there's definitely some truth to that. And that means that there are some potential concerns and pitfalls with AI. And I'm glad the church is addressing that. We need to address that. People need to hear the Catholic voice on technology, on AI, on politics, on anything. People say sometimes, Michael, why do you talk about politics, or why are you talking about the war? Why are you talking about this and that? You know, I thought this is a theology channel. Exactly. It is a theology channel. And theology impacts every aspect of life. And so sometimes it's important to have commentary on things that you might not think immediately are theological, but in fact they are, because they impact faith and morals. The sciences, history, politics, current events, all of that impacts faith and morals. And so it's important for the church to have a voice in these discussions. And we're seeing that here. In an address to the G7 summit, Pope Francis discusses the threat and Promise of Artificial Intelligence, The Techno-Human Condition, Human versus Algorithmic Decision-Making, AI Written Essays. I think quite a few people have gotten in trouble at school for that, right? And The Necessity of Political Collaboration on Technology. On Friday afternoon, Pope Francis addressed the G7 Leaders Summit in Italy. He is the first pope to ever address the forum, which brings together the leaders of US, UK, Italy, France, Canada, Germany, and Japan. And again, I'm happy to hear that. I want the church to be in these discussions. That's awesome. AI, dangers and promises. The Pope dedicated his address to the G7, to the Summit of Artificial Intelligence. He began by saying that the birth of AI represents a true cognitive industrial revolution, which will lead to complex epochal transformations. These transformations, the Pope said, have the potential to be both positive, for example, the democratization of access to knowledge, and the potential advancement of scientific research, as well as a reduction in demanding and arduous work. In negative, for instance, greater injustice between advanced and developing nations, between dominant and oppressed social classes. So he's, you know, highlighting some of the pros and some of the cons. The techno-human condition. Noting that AI is above all a tool, the Pope spoke of what he called the techno-human condition. He explained that he was referring to the fact that humans' relationship with the environment has always been mediated by the tools that they've produced. Some, the Pope said, see this as a weakness or a deficiency. However, he argued, it is in fact something positive. It stems, he said, from the fact that we are beings inclined to what lies outside of us, beings radically open to the beyond. This openness, Pope Francis says, is both the root of our techno-human condition and the root of our openness to others and to God, as well as the root of our artistic and intellectual creativity. The Pope then moved on to the subject of decision-making. He said that AI is capable of making algorithmic choices, that is, technical choices, among several possibilities based on either on well-defined criteria or on statistical inferences. Human beings, however, not only choose, but in their hearts are capable of deciding. This is because the Pope explained they are capable of wisdom, of what the ancient Greeks called phronesis, a type of intelligence concerned with practical action and of listening to sacred scripture. It is thus very important, the Pope stressed, that important decisions must always be left to the human person. In other words, you just can't put everything into the hands of technology and AI. I mean, we would kind of have, you know, a Terminator moment, right, with Skynet. ultimately, there needs to be human persons behind this. As an example of this principle, the Pope pointed to the development of lethal autonomous weapons, which can take human life with no human input, and said that they must ultimately be banned. Okay, yeah, especially if they're just absolutely autonomous, then yeah, I could see a problem with that. Now, I can imagine, AI and weapons being used in particular cases of defense. I can imagine that could be morally licit, certainly if they're not being operated autonomously, but if it's autonomous, as he's suggesting here or indicating, that might be a problem. I could see a whole lot of room for error. The Pope also stressed that the algorithms used by artificial intelligence to arrive at choices are neither objective nor neutral. He pointed to the algorithms designed to help judges in deciding whether to grant home confinement to prison inmates. These programs, he said, make a choice based on data, such as the type of offense, behavior in prison, psychological assessment, and the prisoner's ethnic origin, educational attainment, and credit rating. However, the Pope stressed this is reductive. Human beings are always developing and are capable of surprising us by their actions. This is something that a machine cannot take into account. And that's true. A further program the Pope emphasized is that algorithms can only examine realities formalized in numerical terms. The Pope then turned to consider the fact that many students are increasingly relying on AI to help them with their studies, and in particular, writing essays. Now, if you're just copying and pasting this stuff, yeah, no, that's not good. I could see it, you know, helping somebody maybe outline their thoughts or giving them an idea or two, but that's about all you would want to use it for. You don't want to copy and paste that, you know, for school purposes or something like that. It is easy to forget, the Pope said, that strictly speaking, so-called generative artificial intelligence is not really generative. It does not develop new analyses or concepts, but rather repeats those that it finds, giving them an appealing form. And I'll certainly say it's not neutral. The way you phrase questions whenever you prompt it will determine the output and the outcome and the results that it generates. This, the Pope says, risks undermining the educational process itself. Education, he emphasized, should offer the chance for authentic reflection, but instead runs the risk of being reduced to a repetition of notions, which will increasingly be evaluated as unobjectionable simply because of their constant repetition. Bringing his speech to a close, the Pope emphasized that AI is always shaped by the worldview of those who invented and developed it. A particular concern in this regard, he said, is that today it is increasingly difficult to find agreement on the major issues concerning social life. There is less and less consensus, that is, regarding the philosophy that should be shaping artificial intelligence. It goes on, what is necessary, therefore, the Pope said, is the development of an Algore ethics, a series of global and pluralistic principles which are capable of finding support from cultures, religions, international organizations, and major corporations. He says, if we struggle to define a single set of global values, we can at least find shared principles to address and resolve dilemmas or conflicts regarding how to live. Faced with this challenge, the Pope said, political action is urgently needed. Only a healthy politics involving the most diverse sectors and skills, the Pope stressed, is capable of dealing with the challenges and promises of artificial intelligence. And, you know, let me stop there. Some people are going to say, but, you know, why is he diving into politics? Again, because faith and morals impacts politics. There's a relationship there. So the Pope should be commenting on the morality of certain aspects in politics, technology, the sciences, history. He might not necessarily be an authority on history or the sciences, though I think he does have a doctorate in chemistry, but you know what I mean. Politics and so on. He might not always be right in his evaluation of certain information and points of talking points and facts and so on. Not necessarily always on point, but to the best that he can, both he and really all Catholics should be commenting on these issues from a Catholic perspective and highlighting how these things impact faith and morals, and certainly giving some guardrails and guidance in these discussions to people. So I'm happy he's touching on it. Only a healthy politics involving the most diverse sectors and skills, the Pope stressed, is capable of dealing with the challenges and promises of artificial intelligence. The goal, Pope Francis concluded, is not stifling human creativity and its ideals of progress, but rather directing that energy along new channels. And there's a link here to the full thing. I can put that in the show notes for you. And you can use Google Translate to translate it for you if you want to read his whole speech. But like I said, I'm happy to see the Pope and the Church being represented in these discussions. Now, I know, you know, some people are going to, you know, express a number of concerns, one of them being, hey, you know, here you have the Pope meeting with Biden. And according to a number of the reports, you know, Pope Francis and Biden had some interaction about a number of subjects. I think ecology was one thing they were discussing. I think they were also talking about the war in Ukraine, the war, you know, with Israel and Hamas. And so there was some discussions there. And I know some people are going to have some concerns. You know, Biden claims to be a Catholic, and the big elephant in the room is his dissent against, you know, the morality of the church and the teachings of the church. And so I wanted to briefly touch on that. There are some comments that Pope Francis has made a while back. Yeah, it was back in 2022, July of 2022. He made some comments about Biden, and I want to briefly review those and interact with it a little bit more. This is from an article called Pope Francis Considers It an Incoherence that President Biden, a Catholic, supports abortion rights. And I'm glad the Pope touched on this. I think that this is a big issue that really needs to be addressed. Now, I totally understand, although I do think that abortion is probably the number one thing that really needs to be addressed with Biden and many others. Obviously, there are also other points that we need to address and engage and challenge people on. I get that. But this is certainly a big one. It's the elephant in the room for me, especially since he claims to be a Catholic and is very clearly in dissent against church teaching on this point. So let's talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly concerning Pope Francis and Joe Biden on the question of abortion. Now, we all know Pope Francis is very much against abortion. He calls it, you know, he likens it to hiring a hitman to get rid of a problem. I mean, he's very severe against abortion, as he should be, and certainly is, again, not at all in favor of it. Whereas Biden, on the other hand, will go out of his way to defend, you know, abortion rights and abortion itself, all the while claiming to be a Catholic. And yeah, no, you're no longer in full communion when you're in dissent on this particular point. Now, I addressed that in another video. I'll put a link to it in the show notes, but I stand by what I said. If you're obstinately rejecting the church's teaching on this point, you're not in full communion with the Catholic Church. Whether you think that this is a dogma or a secondary object of infallibility, either way, you're not in full communion if you're in dissent on this point. So I don't think that Biden is in good standing with the Catholic Church, which would mean whenever he meets with Pope Francis, you would hope that Pope Francis would directly address that issue. And perhaps there's some criticism in the way that he is handled by the pontiff and others on this particular point. Let's explore that. Pope Francis has described it as an incoherence that President Joe Biden, a Catholic, is in favor of legal abortion. Absolutely. And I'm glad that he comments on that and points that out. It is incoherent. It's exactly like saying, hey, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe Jesus ever existed. It's like, sorry, it doesn't mean anything. It's not even meaningful at that point to say you're a Christian if you don't even believe Jesus is a historical person. I mean, it's just, it means nothing at that point. During an interview with Univision and Televisa broadcast July 12th, Pope Francis spoke about abortion and Biden's position after being asked about whether to admit politicians who promote legal abortion to Holy Communion. Well, it would certainly seem that there's some canons that would indicate, no, in this particular case, he should not be given Holy Communion. The Holy Father affirmed that there is scientific data that show that a month after conception, the DNA of the fetus is already there and the organs are aligned. There is human life. Is it just to eliminate a human life, he asked. Of course not. As for the defense of abortion by the U.S. president, Francis states that he leaves it to Biden's conscience. Well, okay, in a certain sense, everything is left to conscience, but that conscience has to be guided by the magisterium, right? Now, I don't think Pope Francis is denying that, but that is something that I would highlight. Yes, ultimately, you act based on your conscience, but your conscience has to be formed by the church, never in opposition to the magisterium. You can't say, hey, you know, the church says this, but my conscience tells me otherwise. No, that's Martin Luther all over again. No, no, your conscience has to be formed by the magisterium. Again, Pope Francis is not denying this, but what I'm saying is I would highlight this point because some people weaponize this stuff and they say, well, see, ultimately it's reduced to my conscience. Not really, not really. Maybe your immediate action is based on your conscience, but you need to form your actions or you need to form your conscience based on what the magisterium teaches. And that then impacts the decisions and actions that you conduct. Okay, so let Biden talk to his pastor about the incoherence, the Pope said. Okay, that's fine. I mean, hey, that's a good starting place. But I certainly wouldn't say that that's the final point. And I would suggest that as Pope, this, you know, the buck stops ultimately with the Pope. And, you know, maybe his pastor isn't doing a good enough job here. And then again, maybe he is. But then again, Biden's just not listening or doesn't care or isn't willing to change. So at that point, it's not sufficient to just talk to the priest or one's pastor or one's bishop, because you can talk to them until you're blue in the face. If you don't want to do the right thing, you're not going to do the right thing. Now, there's this other factor here about scandal. Whenever we continue to allow these people to claim to be Catholic or even receive communion, there's some scandal involved because it then implies that, hey, it's perfectly fine to be in favor of abortion and, you know, you're still in full communion with the Catholic Church, when in fact you're not. So it might be a good starting place to talk to one's pastor, but that's not the final result or conclusion. And I think that at this point, it would be good for the Pope to come out and make a decision for Biden. Since Biden can't do the right thing himself, it would be good for the Pope to come out and say, you know what? We're going to make it clear to everyone you're not in full communion with the Catholic Church anymore because this is causing scandal. So I think that there's some room for criticism in the way that sometimes the pastors of the church, even popes, handle political figures. And that's a problem that has really gone back to Scripture. I mean, just think about the Jewish leaders that God had in charge, you know, in the New Testament period. Well, how did the leaders handle Herod and others? You know, some of those leaders failed. How did the high priest, you know, handle Herod? Those are some good questions to consider. Sometimes the leadership that we have doesn't do everything that it can to address something, and perhaps in some cases it should. So I think there's some room for improvement here and even criticism. Though a Catholic, Biden has repeatedly supported abortion rights, despite the church's teaching that human life must be respected and protected from the moment of conception. Last week, Biden signed an executive order aimed at protecting abortion access in response to the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. So again, I totally get. Let's give some time for a person to wrestle with things, to form their conscience, to have those discussions with their pastors. But there comes a point in time where that has run out of gas, and that's no longer going to be sufficient. And it might need to be that we excommunicate that person. And if it won't be, you know, the bishop in Washington, D.C. who does it, at some point, it needs to be the Pope. The president called it a moment to restore the rights that have been taken away from us, in the moment to protect our nation from an extremist agenda that is antithetical to everything we believe as Americans. Absurd. Absurd. In September 2021, Biden said he did not agree that life begins at conception. I have been and continue to have be a strong supporter of Roe v. Wade. I respect them. Those who believe life begins at the moment of conception, I respect that. I don't agree, but respect that. Well, that's not good enough, you know. Cardinal Wilton Gregory of Washington commented shortly thereafter, the Catholic Church teaches and has taught that life, human life begins at conception, so the president is not demonstrating Catholic teaching. True, but as their shepherd, at some point we need to move from the position of let's have a conversation to, you know what, we need to use the church's power to excommunicate for the sake of Biden's soul and for the sake of the many who will be scandalized if we don't take these measures. Now, you'll notice, especially in the post-conciliar church, one of the biggest problems we've had is a lack of church discipline. And I'll continue to say that. Many people want to blame Vatican II and stuff like that, and the Novus Ordo and all sorts of things. Those are generally the whipping boys in these discussions to explain all the problems in the church. No, in reality, the majority of the problems in the church today go back to people know they can get away with whatever because there's just no church discipline. And it may come from a good intention in some cases, but intentions aren't sufficient in these discussions at the end of the day. Maybe some bishops, maybe even some of the popes in the post-conciliar period have been overly indulgent with certain situations out of good motives, sure. That doesn't ultimately cut it, because at the end of the day, we're allowing a problem to fester and get worse and worse and worse, and for a scandal to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And if we start wielding the power of excommunication medicinally, not in some kind of unbiblical way, but medicinally, people will start to know, hey, I can't just do whatever I want and say whatever I want. And that's going to cut down on a lot of the confusion. That's going to cut down on a lot of dissent. You would start to see things be brought into much more order in the church. That won't eliminate all problems. I'm not saying that's going to eliminate everything, but it certainly will fix a lot of them. Overnight, people will know, hey, this person has been made an example out of. I don't want to be the next guy. And so that will make some people act right. In June 2021, the Parish Council of the President, Washington, D.C.'s Parish Holy Trinity stated its agreement with Gregory concerning the issues surrounding offering the Eucharist to American politicians. Holy Trinity will not deny the Eucharist to persons presenting themselves to receive it. As a parish which has a long history of welcoming all, we concur with and support the pastoral approach of our Archbishop. It's not a good approach. It's not a good pastoral approach. We certainly want to be welcoming to all, but welcoming to all doesn't mean that everyone is entitled to receive the Eucharist in all moments in time, right? I mean, that's certainly not Catholic teaching. Some people are not disposed to receive the Eucharist. And being welcoming does not necessarily mean just allowing everyone to get away with everything and do whatever they want, and then use the church as something to prop them up politically. That's not welcoming. It's not welcoming at all. So, hey, I'm all about being welcoming to people. Let's welcome people. Let's not welcome the sin, though. And let's not allow someone's public scandal in sin after they've had years of opportunity to change. Let's not allow that to turn other people away from the church or scandalize people and make them leave the church. You see, this notion of welcoming is not the only thing we have to consider. First of all, we need to have a proper understanding of what welcoming means. Welcome the sinner, not the sin. And being welcoming to all doesn't mean all are entitled to receive the Eucharist or in a right state to receive the Eucharist or should be given the Eucharist, not the same thing. And then number two, being welcoming to all isn't the only factor in this discussion. We also have the issue of scandal. So if we really want to be welcoming, however, to people, we need to welcome them in such a way that won't be destructive to their souls. Because if we're being welcoming pastorally in a way that harms their souls, that's not welcoming. That's being complicit in their sin. And at some point, we share in that complicity to one degree or another, whether we are, individual Catholics, bishops, or even popes. There's a degree of complicity at some point. Ultimately, God's going to be the judge of how much, each person is complicit in some of this stuff. But I think it's safe to say, man, we're at that point. It should be time to just go ahead and excommunicate the guy for medicinal purposes, for his own soul and many others. And so I would hope that in interactions with Biden, there's not just discussions of ecology and, you know, the war and stuff like that. How important those things may be, and they're very important, and I think that they're completely legitimate discussions that the Pope needs to have. I think, you know, one of the biggest discussions that the Pope needs to have with him is, all right, hey, Joe, look, if you want to keep doing this, we're going to have to go ahead and excommunicate you. That's the discussion we need to have. And a failure to have that is one of the reasons why we have a lot of problems in the church today, because we're just allowing people to get away with murder. And in this case, literally, we're allowing people to get away with murder. So this is one of those areas I think we could do better. Ultimately, you know, it's going to be on the shepherds. Ultimately, it's going to be on the bishops. Ultimately, it's going to be on the Pope. You know, laity can cry out all day long for more church discipline. But ultimately, it falls on the shepherds to do that. And if the shepherds don't do that, they will be accountable before God, and they will give an account to God on the day of judgment for failing to do that. Whatever their intentions are, God is going to judge all that. God will determine their level of culpability. But ultimately, it falls on the bishops to do the right thing. And we could certainly say, in some cases, we got some room for improvement in doing the right thing in this area. So when I see Biden and Pope Francis, that's the first thing that I think of is, man, if I were a pope, this would be the discussion we're having. Yeah, let's talk about ecology. Let's talk about the war. But you know what? First of all, I want to talk to you about this other issue. You're claiming to be a Catholic, and you're against church teaching on this issue, and it's impacting lives and scandalizing people. And you've had years to change. And if you're not going to do it, and your bishop won't do it, I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to make it clear you're no longer in good standing with the Catholic Church. That's not weaponizing the Eucharist. That's not weaponizing church discipline. That's being a good steward of the mysteries of God, as the New Testament says the ministers of God are over the sacraments. It's being a good steward. It's not weaponizing or politicizing the Eucharist, as some have suggested. Okay, well, last point. After pontificating, I have to throw this in. I have to go back to the forehead thing. It wasn't just me that was disturbed by that. It wasn't just me that thought this is really weird. Evidently, you know, the secular media is also picking up on how weird this is. Look at this headline. Biden embraces surprise-looking Pope Francis with forehead-to-forehead hug at G7 summit. And then they show that video that I just showed to you. You can see some pictures here. It's interesting that others have noticed how weird this is. I'm glad that others are noticing how weird it is. I'm glad it's not just me, but that even the secular press is like, what's going on with Biden here? I mean, now, Pope Francis is not at fault for this. He doesn't want to be part of the forehead hugging here, okay? This is not him. It's all Joe. Forehead to forehead hug is wild. I mean, that's a thing, evidently. I didn't know I had a name and designation. Evidently, it does. A forehead to forehead hug. I want to make it clear. Look, I'm happy anytime I go, you know, out of town, wherever I'm at, people will come up to me. Hey, Michael, love your show and all that. Happy to meet everybody. Love meeting people. It's such an honor for me to meet people. But please don't give me a forehead hug, okay? I'm just telling you now, straight up, let's not do the forehead hug thing, okay? President Biden embraced the confused-looking Pope Francis at the G7 summit. Look, I don't think it's Francis that's the confused one. I think it's Biden. And yes, I've seen some of those videos lately of Biden looking very confused with where he's at. Maybe Joe just lost his balance. No, no, no. Watch it. Let me show you again. Let me show you again. He goes in, and it's not a losing balance. It's like, let me go in more and more and more because I'm weird. That's what it is. Let's play it. Where's Biden? Okay, there he is. Right, look. That's not losing balance. I don't know what that is. And that's just weird. I'm sorry, y'all. That is standard in some cultures. It's not standard in the United States, okay? That's not American culture. So the culture card won't work because I know in the United States, yeah, we kind of have some diversity with culture, but I don't know of any culture in the United States that does this. This is just weird. What is going on? Like I said, I can't do it 4 more years of this. I can't. It's just, I'm done. I'm tapping out. Honestly, though, he needs to pull him aside and say, Joe, either stop claiming to be Catholic or I'm going to do it for you. Either get in line with church teaching on this, or we're going to make it very clear. You're no longer Catholic and you're not going to be receiving the Eucharist. And that's for your own soul. And that's also for the many souls that you're leading astray. That's what needs to happen here. If it doesn't happen, ultimately our leaders give an account before God. They will give an account. Let's pray, however, that they receive the graces necessary to hear the promptings of the Holy Spirit, to do what is right, to minister rightly, to be good stewards of the sacraments. Let's pray for them to receive those graces. That's our job. And ultimately, that's all we can do as laity and maybe even priests who are watching. It's ultimately all we can do in this particular case, unless you're the priest who communes Joe Biden. All right, everybody, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. See you later. God bless. Hey friends, do you want others to discover why the Catholic Church is the church that Jesus established? And do you want to help people make sense of all the confusion in the Catholic Church today? Help contribute to this mission by supporting Reason and Theology at patreon.com/reasonandtheology. By doing so, you'll also get access to exclusive content for patrons only. Also, if you want to deepen your faith, there are free ebooks and even courses that you can sign up for by visiting reason.podia.com. Have you ever heard someone say that Pope Francis denied the existence of hell, or Pope Francis worshipped an idol in the Vatican Gardens? There are many claims that have been made about Pope Francis for over a decade, and many of them are inaccurate. I've set the record straight in my free ebook called Top 10 Lies About Pope Francis Exposed. Get your free copy today by visiting reason.podia.com.
Have you been affected by radical traditionalism? That is a movement that rejects or eyes with suspicion the magisterium and reforms from the time of the Second Vatican Council to the present day, often fostering divisive or even schismatic attitudes within the church. If you are someone who has been impacted by that movement or who wants to understand better its impact on the church, then we are having an in-person conference just for you. This groundbreaking event held in the scenic southwestern treasure state of Montana will include talks, communal liturgy, the hours and mass, meals, and time for convivial conversation. Join us for spiritual invigoration, education, inspiration, and to connect with other Catholics who have traveled a road similar to yours. We hope this will be for you a family reunion, a retreat, and a conference all rolled into one. We're excited to welcome you to this event. The following speakers have been approved by the Diocese of Helena and will present at the conference: Mr. Jeremiah Bannister of Paleocrat Diaries, Sister Mary Eucharista of Sisters of Mary Mother of the Church, Mr. Andrew Bartel, a lay Dominican of the Province of the Most Holy Name of Jesus, Mr. Dom Dalmaso of the Logos Project, Father Eric Gilbaugh, priest of the Diocese of Helena. Lecture topics will include things like understanding mercy and healing from spiritual abuse, fidelity in the magisterium, finding the church in the modern world, the Pope, the Council, and the Mass, and Joseph Ratzinger, pastoral observations of trends in traditionalism, and so much more. Registration is now open. Please go to tradrecovery.com/conference for more details.